You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Mark, are you a financial advisor?
No, I'm just a little newsletter publisher. I used to be a financial advisor, but I do not provide financial advice and just publish our newsletter.
So, Mark, how would you describe what's happening on the stock markets right now?
Well, all very predictable, and I think the market has already bottomed. That's the big averages. We were looking for an April, May low, and we had a washout the last couple of weeks, and we just are bouncing off the bottom here. I've been trying to push our way higher, and I think we should do that. So we're pretty, invested in terms of our model portfolio. So I think things are going to get better. A lot of the negative news or apprehension regarding Donald Trump's tariffs or legislation he's trying to get through is all, in my opinion, should be resolved here in the next few weeks or a couple months the most, and the market should respond positively. And the bond market looks like it's trying to, turn here a little bit. We're starting to get a little rally attempts in the bond market. So whether Trump is pressure, the bond market has nothing to do with Jay Powell of the Federal Reserve, but, Trump's pressuring Powell to lower rates, and they're probably coming. So the bond market, which acts independently, is sort of giving some signs. It's looking for lower rates. And I'm looking at construction companies, home building stocks. They're way down, and they look like they're bottoming to me. So, in fact, we had added an ETF to our list for home builders here at these depressed prices. So, I think we should come out of it. So, we'll just take it, a month at a time here going forward. But our overall opinion is that the S&P is going higher into new record highs this year. So you have to be patient. If you're not trading, if you're trading, we're trading all the time. But, I think the worst is behind us.
What do you feel is going on with gold?
It's still a little toppy phase. I mentioned previously that we put on hedges short silver and gold using ETFs, inverse ETFs, and the charts, to me, look toppy. And we can get, a bit of a correction here. I think gold's, just looking at my interpretation of the charts is way overvalued, even though I'm not selling my gold. I think it's way overvalued. It was run up for a lot of fear reasons and so forth. It's good to keep a core position. We're just hedging a little bit, but I think it's overvalued. In fact, to me, it's maybe even $1,000 overvalued. I mean, back to 2,300 level. There's 1,000 off the top. I'm not predicting it's going to do that, but that's where the value is for gold. So if it does have a sharp sell-off and it does get down to those levels, you've been forewarned, so to speak, because that's what the charts say is possible. But doesn't mean it's going to happen. A lot of people are sold on gold. All the reports that you read now are talking about, 3,500 is not that far away, 4,000. You're hearing all kinds of numbers now. You didn't hear those kind of numbers a few months ago. So there's a lot of bullish sentiment out there. There's still a possibility that we can get a new Fed chairman next year. Judy Sheldon is one of the names that's being tossed about. She's a big gold bug. There's talk about backing treasuries with gold. It's still unresolved whether the gold is still in Fort Knox or not. I'm still a skeptic about that. The whole story quieted down. If you remember, they were supposed to, Elon Musk and Trump were going to go to Fort Knox and check out that the gold's really there, and we haven't heard anything except this disclaimers. Oh, it's okay. It's been audited. Everything is fine. I don't believe that, but it's possibly one of the reasons why gold went up, because it's not really there, or it's not all there. But that story has been squashed a little bit. So that could keep gold elevated, you know, and particularly if they ever get in there and audit it and we find out it's not all there, that could really push gold higher, just, you know, from a contrarian's point of view reasons. So, but just as a trading comment, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, I think we got overdone on the gold, and the charts say a little top is in place, and whether it's a little top or a big one, you know, time will tell. But like I said, I'm not selling all the gold. The worst case would be to hedge a little bit, and we did that with a couple of ETFs. So outside of that, we'll see how it plays out. I think over time, you know, the wind is at your back in the gold market. But, you know, the question is, what time frame are you in, obviously? I mean, I've been a buyer of gold since the 1980s. So you're looking at a, you know, 40-year time frame and say you're positive. And you can also say that about the stock market and weathered a lot of storms along the way and net-net have been ahead if you have the infinite patience like that. But outside of that general comment, you know, there's still very forces on the planet and, you know, uncertainty about currencies and unusual, you know, geopolitical events that pop up. So it's good to keep some of it, sure.
What's going on with silver?
Same thing. Silver's, you know, a little toppy. You never went as far as gold on the charts. It was a divergence in the terms of not making new highs. It, you know, it's just on a technical trading basis, a little, toppy to me. It's just not running away big time here. I think it's okay. At some point, it'll catch up. So I'm not jumping up and down. I'm more excited about, and I keep bringing this up as you delve into these questions, I'm more excited about crypto than I am about gold and silver. You know, I think that's where the money is going to be made in the next year or two, and certainly in terms of percentages. So, you know, that I'm more, you know, that's sort of where I'm focusing. You know, you can hold gold and silver, and you can trade it. We do a little bit, and we keep names on our list. But that's not where the big play is going to be in terms of, you know, making 100, 200, 300, 400%, 500% on your money possibility, or 1,000% possibilities. That's not happening with gold and silver. It will happen with crypto. So that's why I'm less excited about, you know, I own gold and silver, but I'm betting more on the crypto. In fact, we're getting a rally now in Bitcoin a little bit. It's coming off the lows. We talked about this previously. You know, it got down to the low 70s, which was sort of that breakout point that I was looking for it to correct back to, which it did in the last couple months. And looks like it's headed over, in my opinion, I think it's around 97,000 in terms of Bitcoin today. I think it should get up to 101,000, 102,000 here short term, up a few thousand dollars. And then we'll see if it could gain any momentum beyond that, because the big number is 107. That was the big high. And if it goes to that, it's going to 140. And a lot is, contingent upon the legislation that hopefully you'll get passed here in the U.S. for the crypto and Bitcoin reserves that are supposedly going to be created, which could stretch out and take about a year to implement. So it could be next summer before all those things, you know, get done. Maybe it'll happen sooner. I just think there's a lot of excitement coming with regard to, Donald Trump's push for crypto and making it more legitimate. And I think, you know, the world's come to realize, you know, with uncertainty, look at the big decline the U.S. dollar has had recently. Euro went up. Even the Canadian dollar rallied. People, you know, are less confident about the dollar than they had been. Many were bearish all along. Many are feeling better about it. I don't think the dollar is going the way of the dodo bird or anything like that, but you know, uncertainty regarding the currency, I think is certainly giving some wind to the back of the crypto environment. So anyway, that's sort of where I'm at. You know, I'm not selling all my gold and silver, but I don't think that's where the action is.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's happening in the crude oil market?
Crude oil is still, in my opinion, bearish. You know, suddenly if the war starts to reignite in Europe with Putin and Ukraine, and it doesn't settle down and stuff like that, and there's all kinds of geopolitical things that pop up out of the blue, you can get more of a rally. But I'm more in the camp, as I have been for the last several months, that, you know, crude oil could be under pressure for a while. We had a target of $55 when it was in the low 70s, and it got there, and it's bounced a little bit. And but I could still see it going down, taking out 55 and maybe getting even into the 40s or lower. And that's, you know, near-term comment, not a day-to-day comment. But so, you know, we're actually short crude oil using an inverse ETF. That said, I'm more positive and have been more positive on natural gas. It's been really volatile. If you look at the ETFs and the natural gas prices up and down here in the last few months, very tradable, very exciting market. Natural gas went way up. There's a couple ETFs that we trade that are very volatile. Ran up, it's pulled back again. It's actually up and down a couple times, but now it looks like it hit another little trading bottom here. So I'm more excited in terms of that resource, you know, natural gas and related stocks than I am oil. So that's where we're at.
What's going on with copper?
It's improved. I don't do very much in the copper market. I watch Southern Copper, ticker symbol SSCCO, as sort of a indicator, and it followed the market. We had a washout, as you know, in the stock market here into early April. And if you put the chart up of Freeport or SCCO over the stock market, they almost mirror each other. So it's recovering here with the stock market. And it probably will continue to do so and can resume its uptrend along with the market here this summer and fall, in my opinion. So, overall positive. We do have names on our list that are copper-related. Not my first choice, but it's there. I'd rather pay attention to something like, as I mentioned a few moments ago, the home building stocks, which have been decimated with fear that homes are going to zero and we're never going to build homes again. These stocks are way, way down. And the ETF for the I'm not training the subject. You know, copper obviously will be part of that process. You know, obviously, home building, it gets better. Copper will do better. All the metals, construction metals, will do better. But, you know, you've got an ETF, down 30-40%. And with interest rates likely to come lower and with a recovery, which I anticipate, home building should come back and home prices should do better. So there's a little more of opportunity, I think, buying a home building stock than copper here, though they probably will track together.
Anything we should be keeping an eye on the geocosmic front?
Well, it's sort of an interesting story up there. It's a little bit from left field, but you know, it's worth chatting about since we like chatting about these type of things. So apparently, back in 1972, the Soviet Union sent a spacecraft, Cosmos 482, and it was supposed to go to Venus. And believe it or not, it never really got anywhere. And for the last 50 years, it's been floating around the planet Earth. It just never, something went wrong with the technology, And it's hard to believe, but for 50 years, the Venus, though the Soviet Union did have success with some of their other Venus probes going way back, this one just puttered out, so to speak. So anyway, it's headed to crash back into the planet, and it could happen any day now, and they're not sure where it's going to come down. They speculate it could be in the ocean, it could be in any continent. You know, they're all. It's just an interesting story. I mean, you obviously you don't want to be under the thing when it hits. But there's a long story that the upper stage of the rocket, you know, failed, and you can read it all. Kind of, I put this into my newsletter because it's an interesting story. That. But, you know, what's more interesting is the uncertainty of where it's going to come down. So the thing is not huge. It's maybe a couple meters in size. And you would think it would burn up before it hit the planet. But it's just funny that a Venus probe has been hanging out there for 1972 to date. And it's heading back to Earth. And
did it detect any intelligent life?
I guess around the planet Earth it did. That's about it. So that's sort of the interesting, you know, space event that those who are watching the skies are tracking here. And you can just, you know, pull up the news stories on it. But apparently, you know, in the next couple of weeks, this thing may come crashing down somewhere on Earth and end the Venus mission, which was... unsuccessful. So anyway, that's the only geocosmic thing that's hit this story. The sky watchers who are watching the skies are trying to keep an eye on this thing and where it's going to come down and when. It's pretty soon. So it sounds like, you know, it could happen. They're expecting actually May 10th. So that's the crash date. That's when they think it's coming down. So we're a little early now. It's May 1st, and probably when we have our next interview, it may still have not crashed, but just an interesting story. And, you know, it's fun to look at stuff that's non-stock market related, because the whole world is not the stock market that everybody tries to make you believe it is. But it's just an interesting story. So that's sort of the geocosmic side story for this week.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Always having fun. Thank you, Jim. Take care.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at House Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of House Street Media Incorporated.